Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Astrologer Bill Attride Radio Show. I'm Bill Attride, and today is the 14th show of 2020. I was rolling out a bunch of shows there in March and April, and I took a brief break there for a couple of weeks from all of you, and I am sorry for that, but I had to get other work done, part of which was I spent some time taking some transcripts or recordings of shows and making transcripts of two shows in January and one in February. And I've done one more for the one in March, and I'll release that one shortly. The other three I've already published. And again, I'm going to try to keep doing that when the shows warrant that kind of a little extra effort. I'll make a transcript and release it. So those of you who like to read it as well as listen to it, or instead of listening to it, can certainly read at least the first part of the show in terms of when I make my little talks here on various subjects. And so today I thought I'd look at the two planets and their relationship to one another through history, but especially focusing on our time, of the planets Uranus and Neptune and how their relationship indicates certain things for us. And we can take some guidance and measure of our time through them. And that's what the planets are for, to guide and inspire us. And I will do that. And then I will turn to you and take up your calls. And you may want to talk about this topic or about something else more personal in your own life or others' lives. And if you do, regardless, just give me your first name so I know I'm talking to. And then, of course, certainly, if you want to talk about your chart or anyone else's chart, I would need date of birth and place of birth at the very least, and time of birth if you have it. And certainly you can always email me with questions and thoughts about astrology in general. And if you want to get your own chart done at some point, if you haven't had it done, or if you have had it done before but want to get a different take on your chart, that's what I do. That's what also keeps me busy. And I've been getting very busy these last few weeks. So I didn't have as much time for the show, but I'm going to try to keep to my more or less weekly schedule here. So I should be back again next Sunday and going forward, hopefully. And again, if you want to reach me, the best way is my email, which is bill@tride@gmail.com. It's just my name, BILLATTRIDE@gmail.com, with any questions or thoughts or suggestions you may have, or to reach me. Okay. And let's see. So let's get into the show for today. And as I mentioned, what I'd like to do today is look at the relationship of Uranus and Neptune to one another. So what we're looking at here always is in mundane or worldly astrology, as we call it, we focus first upon those three outer planets as being the avatars or instruments that provide illumination and guidance as to what is driving the story of human development down here. The content of each society and the individual strengths and weaknesses that drive their story, that's created by the choices made in the past and present by those people of that society. But the underlying rhythms and themes, the spiritual nature of the opportunities and challenges, the spiritual meanings in each period or epoch can be framed by the understanding of these interlacing orbits of Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. So I've been writing a lot about and focusing upon the influence of Pluto, it seems like forever, for some time. But today I want to look at these other two, Uranus and Neptune, and look at how their cycle of relationship by reviewing previous periods in history and comparing to them to those in our time. Well, the orbit of Uranus is roughly 84 years and Neptune's 164. Their cycle with one another, that is going from one conjunction of Uranus with Neptune to the next, is about 170 years. As in any planetary pair, we not only consider the conjunction as being significant, but we also look at the series of aspects from conjunction to the next conjunction. They're cycling through how far along or apart they are from one another, much like the sun-moon cycle as it goes from a new moon to an opposition or full moon, and then back again to their next conjunction. The conjunction, like a new moon, is a time of seeding and releases a new quality or theme, in this case, Uranus and Neptune's relationship to one another, which unfold and manifest over the next 170 years. That theme, as in all planetary pairs, will always be structured and informed by the meanings of these two planets. I like to say that Uranus and Neptune's relationship illustrates one of the great spiritual truths and challenges we have faced throughout the centuries. How does any society, culture, economy, and political system structure the integral balance of individuality, which is Uranus, and communality, which is Neptune? Their last conjunction was in 1993, and it released the seed for the next iteration of this integral balance. Historically, their conjunctions can be seen to frame the weaving and interplay that shapes societies. Those prior conjunctions were 965, 1136, 1307, 1479, 1650, 1821, and ours in 1993. If we look to Europe, though there are parallels to periods in Asia and Africa too, the first three, 965, 1136, 1307, could be seen as the beginning, middle, and end of what we call now the Middle Ages. Then 1479 was the Renaissance and Reformation, and 1650 was the Enlightenment and the Age of Reason. And then in 1821, with the end of Bonaparte's attempt to form an empire of Europe, that led to the 1800s and 1900s, to what we call the modern age, which in one way you could characterize as liberal democracy versus socialistic, communistic formations of society. And that paradigm of order ended between 1989 and 1993. What our period is truly about, no one can say for certain, because we are still very much in the beginning or initial phase of the dream seed that is emerging. But it is now, in 2016 through 2020, and maybe just a little beyond, because things don't happen in a moment. They happen over a period of time. Things aren't instances. They are cycles and periods and phases, that we are now encountering the first major aspect in this Uranus-Neptune cycle, which is the semi-square or 45-degree aspect. Much like when a seed sprouts, there is no knowing what it can mean as it grows beneath the soil. But it is at this moment of the semi-square when the sprout emerges above the ground. It is then, or for us now, that we face our encounter with what is or may be. However, just as much as we can get a glimpse of the future, we will also face our past. This stage of the cycle is likened to a quickening or spurring to development of the new impulse released by the seed. But it is equally the challenge thrown down by the past, which often will resist this new form of being. It is, and we are in it now, a struggle between the future and the past. The movement towards the new meets the resistance of that past. It's quite understandable, as some of this resistance will come from our inherent and natural uncertainty and hesitation, the caution any one of us might feel when starting something new. But some of the resistance will be rooted in deeper fears, by the attachment to and fear of the loss of present advantages or privileges which the new way threatens. The promise of a new world is taken up by some or by the many at the time of the seeding, in our case from 1993 to now. But the fear of loss held by the old reality and its beneficiaries is encountered most clearly at this turning now. We need to remember, the new is but a dream. It comes from the spirit within. It is, for a time, subjective. Those dreamers are meeting up with the physical reality, with the objective reality of the world as it is. That means in many parts and places, the dreamers encounter those who do not wish to change. They do not want to lose what they have, and there are also many who wish to retake what they feel they have already lost. What is the message of Uranus and Neptune for us now? It is what it has always been. Uranus rules individuality, and it is the avatar of the higher or freer mind that forms one of the three aspects of spirit. Neptune rules communality. Neptune is the avatar of the energy form that holds the whole of creation as one. The truth of spirit is found by these two being held together, where the essence of the individual is celebrated and made realizable by the support and the meaningfulness of being part of or one with the many. We are here to be an individual. We are made of one another too. As we say, I am that. I am. But also, I bow to the divine within you too. The integral relationship between Uranus and Neptune illustrates the paradoxical truth behind the mystery of the universe's constitution. Everything, every speck and mode of creation, every particle, every atom and molecule, and every being in this universe is an individual. Each one is a unique instance or manifestation of spirit, formed and informed by what I call its own quintessence, its essential identity or essence. Yet, at the very same time, all of these ones are part of the one. And so they are fundamentally, essentially, and equally indivisible from one another. They are all part of the one life and the one love that binds and holds all together. But how much of the individuality manifests and how much of the communality shines through, that balance or imbalance between them, as we look at all the kingdoms of life in the various life forms and species of animate life, throughout the ages, we will see that there is an ever-shifting balance between these two principles, between the one and the many. For us humans, this tension between the individual and their community has waxed and waned within any culture and civilization, as well as between them. For example, when we look at human forms of lifestyle or life ways, like the hunter and gatherer, or the farmer craftsperson, or in our society, for example, of, let's say, rural and urban, we will see differing mixtures and balances of the relationship between how much freedom an individual has and how much limitation of freedom they will experience as they sacrifice for and to their community. The whole, or community, is essential for all human beings, for their shared sense of belonging to something larger and more encompassing. And so we yield some of our individual freedoms to the very source of our nature, because that very community provides the context of meanings, values, and beliefs which form each individual in that community. You cannot have one without the other. At various points in history, within any culture, as well as between cultures, there has been this reciprocal balance between the degree to which people are freer to express themselves as more individual, to differentiate themselves from their various groups, and times when the larger social order of family, community, ethnicity, and state are able to more closely or narrowly define and often circumscribe that individual freedom. It is how this balance is achieved and maintained, the extent to which there is a mutual benefit from one to the other, or times like our own, which seems out of balance, that determine the degree to which the balance of individual freedom and communal harmony does or does not prevail. Remember, the time we are in now is critical. It is when the emerging new theme released at the conjunction or the new moon in 1993 is encountering the countervailing forces of the past. It is very much a struggle between a new way of being, confronting the fearful pulls and pushes of the old order, trying to maintain or restore itself. This struggle between more individual freedom and more community or communal conformity will play out during the entire 170-year cycle again and again. But the greatest promise and the greatest threat is felt at these critical moments of choice. We are at such a time right now. whatever paradigm of order we might want to characterize had prevailed from 1821 to the late 1980s, those major divisions gave way, with a claim by some who wrote at that time that history is over, with the so-called triumph of liberal democracy and the defeat of communism. We must certainly see now, as we encounter the first turning from the seed that was planted in 1993, that we face the plain and undeniable truth that we are not done with history, nor she with us. We are experiencing a worldwide upheaval between the reemergence of authoritarianism, not that it ever really went away, and the struggle of liberal democracies, which in many ways is just a continuation or a new formulation of the old battles between and within, the haves and the have-nots, between the old and new elites, as the hope for the future for the vast majority of humanity seems to slip further away as they just try to survive. In the North and the South, in the East and in the West, all lands and peoples are marked now by the social pandemic of the pathogens of extreme social schisms, of anarchic individualism and suffocating communalism. And these are signs that we are at this critical turning in the cycle of Uranus and Neptune. The old model of balancing individuality, communality has broken down, and yet to emerge paradigm has not been clearly stated nor acted upon. This worldwide confusion has produced a crisis of order and meaningfulness for the many who yearn for a life and a world that is fair and free. Without a significant majority of people who hold to and act through an accepted integration of these two energy forms, we are living through a period that is like an in-between world, where extremists are driving and dividing us further from one another. When either of these energies becomes unbalanced with the other, we either move towards extreme forms of independence and break our bonds of fellowship, or we bind ourselves into individuality-denying forms of communalism, which can or will lead to the breakdown in the integrity of each member of the group. There is a need for life, for spirit, defined itself by being one and true. But it can only do this by being part of something greater, of belonging and being formed by something larger too. As I like to say, we all want to be one of a kind, but we also can only find our meanings and values by being part of some kind. We are all individuals who are nested within greater and greater wholes or communities. From the family unit to the immediate community to the region and state and nation, and ultimately the planet itself as our largest space of community. But the meanings and the balance of the individual and community are in great peril at this time. The cycle that began in 93 has now reached a critical moment. It should be apparent and clear to many, if not most people, that we are witnessing throughout the world this higher tension between freedom and communal lifeways, and it is ripping cultures, ethnicities, communities, and even families into ever more fragmented relationships and groupings. On the one hand, you could say that the centripetal force of freedom has become severely unbalanced in its integral relationship with the centrifugal force of love. The egotistic, narcissistic, and divisive energies appear ascendant. Love, sacrifice, and communalism are in retreat. As they become unhinged or out of balance with one another, each seemingly devolves into a twisted or warped version of its higher nature. And yet it's equally true that in such a time, as freedom becomes ripped from shared affections, becoming selfish and nihilistic, then equally in response, the principle of love becomes bounded by the fear of the unfamiliar. Affections are narrowed and retreat inwardly to the poisoned wells of tribal attachments and groupings based on race, race and ethnicity and creed and class. The true communal foundations of our common ancestry, that we can all trace our physical and spiritual roots to the same cause. This essential root of us seems to devolve, and the center that is the force that binds the entire universe, true spiritual love, that love is lost as societies break apart into dissociations, made of fear-filled groupings, tribes formed upon fear, who look upon the other as the carrier of darkness, blame, and fear. Yes, it all seems all too clear today that what we have experienced in the darkest parts of our history is crashing into us once again. Fear and hatred are darkening our minds, hearts, and lives. If we were only to go by the news of this past week, we could conclude that the catabolic forces of fear and hatred are outpacing the one abiding true and supreme force in this universe, which is love. But we cannot, nor should we ever retreat or succumb to fear. Why? Because we can also find comfort and reassurance that we have faced such times before, and we did take steps to try and right the wrongs of the past, that we did face and accept both the beauty and the horror of how our story began. Though our story claims we discovered a virgin land, this land was filled with the beauty of vibrant cultures and peoples, and they were exterminated. We were founded upon genocide. Though our founders wrote those immortal words, that all men are created equal, more than half of them held fellow humans as property. We were founded upon racism. This country is being called to account, to answer the call of spirit, where all creatures, great and small, where all of life on this planet is loved and held sacred, and we should treat any fellow human as who they are, a being who is equal to myself, a luminous spark of the divine. We cannot escape our history, but we need to heal our broken minds and hearts. We need to rebuild the stories we tell one another of what our lives are for, why we are here, and what we hope to leave to those who come after. We are only here for a very short time, and many lives are being lost or shortened because of the sins of the past, which cast a dark shadow upon our hearts and minds. We can take inspiration from our heroes who rose to their challenge and look around to our present-day heroes risking their lives to save others. There is much to give us hope. But there is a need on the part of each one of us to reestablish trust in one another. We need to build our greater faith on kindliness and loving deeds. We can look for inspiration and guidance from one another in the smaller and greater acts of individuals and their communities who are putting aside their differences. And they are weaving together a new compact, a fairer and more just society. We each have a vital stake in this. We each have many opportunities to help ourselves and one another. We should remember the spiritual truth that is held in our pledge to one another. And we should honor and remember our spiritual compact, which is inscribed upon the great seal of our national motto. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. The truth is in the stars. The truth is in your heart. You know what to do. Love one another. Well, okay. As we are all watching the news and events of this time that we are in, and our hearts are deeply saddened by the suffering. And as I said, we're equally inspired by those who shine and save and rescue and heal those in dire need. It is indeed so clear what is going on right now, that we are being asked to choose where we stand in the halls and history of spirit. Will we stand for love? Will we stand for one another? Will we reach across the divides that are there but need not be there when we understand that who I have before me is myself? Okay. I'm going to call on all of you, though again, I don't know how long you've been holding because the time is not up there. I've reported this numerous times. I'm going to give up. It's just the way it is, and we'll just go with a chance order here. I'm pretty sure it's in the order that you all came in, so let me go and take you one at a time. And again, if you do have a question for me about the topic today or something else, that's fine. If you want to talk about your own chart or someone else's chart you're calling about, I need at least the date and place of birth, if not the time as well. And certainly, give me your first name and so I know who I'm speaking to. And I'll call upon you and mention your area code so you know, because sometimes apparently people don't know who I'm talking to. So let me try. Okay, so this is caller number one. It's Bill. You're an 805 area code.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. This is Donna from California.
Hi.
My birthday is April 22nd, 1954. I was born at 2:50 p.m. in Flushing, Long Island.
Hold on. I wasn't ready for April 22nd, 54. What time did you say again? I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. April 22nd, 1954.
Right.
In Flushing, Rhode Island.
Uh-huh.
I was born at 2:50 p.m.
2:50 p.m. in Flushing, Rhode Island, you said, right?
No, Long Island, New York.
Long Island, that's what I thought. I figured, but there could have been a Flushing, but I thought you meant New York. Okay. And again, your name's Donna, right? Okay.
Yes.
Let me get that there. Okay, good. So what can I do for you today, Donna?
Well, I want, you know, there's two things. I'm not in a relationship, and I've been waiting to, you know, manifest it. And then also finances. I was in a meditation, and I've been asking for more abundance and a partner to come in. And all of a sudden, I got a message that said it's coming soon. And that was 4 months ago. So it's got to be coming, I'm thinking.
It's got to be coming. Well, the soon is a relative term.
Right,
you know,
right.
Yeah, depends how long we've been waiting. Well, in terms of what's happening in your chart right now, well, let me just look at it in general in terms of what you're looking for there. You're, as you know, you're a Taurus with that Sag moon, Virgo rising, and you're very comfortable being a Taurus with your Venus in Taurus as well, so you love being a Taurus, and that's all fine. But that also means there is this relationship between your Venus and your moon whereby the Taurus is very practical and sensual and down to earth. And so a love is shown in tangible ways and in reliable ways and ways that are sort of comfortable, you know? But the moon in Sagittarius says part of your nature also seeks in terms of your experiences with others and emotional close relationships to be more of an adventure, to be more a time of discovery. So part of you is cautious and part of you is a risk taker.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
That's so true.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that, but that means that you would want to have that be held together for you within yourself. So I'm the best of both of those things so that I would attract a partner who could also be that way for me. Cause it's what I'm also looking for. I'm looking for a partner who is solid and dependable, but likes to play and have fun or take risks, you know, not all the time, but part of the time. And then it's a better matchup with your own predisposition or needs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of where you are right now, your progress moon actually had been going through Taurus the last few years. So you were going through a definite review of your physical life and resource life, your values, yes, your money and income in our culture, which we know is a test in your life, that you're facing tests there in this lifetime of what is my value and how do I work through that. So this would have been an opportunity to work through questions about how, what is my strength now and how can I develop that strength further or acquire a new talent or ability or reposition an old one. But now the moon's in Gemini, and that's the last month or so. And that means now is the time for change and excitement and learning and showing ingenuity and being more able to show your skill sets in terms of, I am intelligent. I can figure things out. I can juggle more than one thing at a time. That's one of the skills you actually bring to your career because you have your midheaven of your chart, the house of destiny, is Gemini. So you'll never do one thing, Donna, ever. Okay. You'll always be juggling things. You might wear two hats at a job or have two jobs or always be learning on the job because you don't want it to be boring or repetitive. And so you do need to feel, like they say nowadays, you've got to be constantly retraining and reworking yourself either in the job or between jobs because that's the world we're in. But you're someone who is wants and is willing to learn and develop herself in her job. So that all works just fine. But it's also true that the planet Venus, your ruler, we know went retrograde and remains retrograde now. We're actually reaching the midpoint of that retrograde, which will happen here on June the 3rd. But it started all the way back on May 13th and continues until June 25th. And that's important because it means we're all reviewing what we like, what we want, who we like and want in our life in the relationship sense. So the time that really goes forward in relationships is more time to review and prepare for the next phase of a relationship or for a new relationship. So you might see that this is a time where things were moving forward, now they're not, but they will again once we get to late June. And there may be an answer coming for all of us around June the 3rd when the Venus and Sun line up with each other. But also that Venus has been retrograding in your 10th house of career. So that's another reason why career matters and such are maybe not as moving forward as one had hoped they might. And of course, Mercury rules your 10th house of career and it rules your rising sign of Virgo. And we all know, or should know, that Mercury is also about to go retrograde. That'll happen on June 18th and stay there till July the 12th. So that doesn't mean nothing's going to happen till July. I'm not saying that. But you are in this curious period where Venus, your ruler, and then Mercury, the ruler of your chart, are taking these periods of inner work and introspection rather than outer activity or exertion. So it could be why, though there's a foreseeing by what you're promised of something coming, it could be delayed because of these things saying you have to do inner work before you can go out there right now. Okay?
Yeah, that makes sense. I've been doing a lot of inner work through my meditations forgiving work.
Wonderful. And where you're making the greatest progress right now, and this has been for a couple of years, is that Moon is progressing through your ninth house, which is the house of truth and religion and philosophy and metaphysics. It's the house of understanding. So this is perfectly a time to expand your frames of reference, to reset your beliefs or refine your beliefs. And that's going to continue for another year. You're doing this for a whole month or a year to come. Okay? So really enjoy the time to lift your consciousness to a new level of understanding. Okay?
Yes. Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I so appreciate it.
You're welcome, Donna. Okay, sure. I'll talk to you later.
Have a wonderful day, Bill. Thanks.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. And I'm on with someone with a 212 area code, my own neighborhood. Hello? Hello?
Hi.
You're on with Bill. Hi.
Hello.
Who
can you hear me okay?
My name is Sharon. Okay.
And I'm calling from Ohio, actually. It was 216, not 212.
Oh, 216. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm misreading. I glanced up and I glanced poorly.
No worries.
216. Okay. What can I do for you? You said Sharon, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
My birthday
have you called before?
I have. You should. It was a few months ago. You should have, I think, my information. At least I think you do.
Okay, what's the date? Because I got two Sharons here.
Okay, September 1st, 1965.
I do have you here, yes. Okay.
What time of birth do you have?
I have you down as 11:33 p.m.
Yep.
Okay,
that's right.
Good.
I was off for a long time, 10 minutes off. I know, but that is the right one.
Okay, good. We always appreciate having the exact time.
I have a different question today. You know, work is fine. My relationships are fine. I was in a car accident on Friday. And, of course, I have insurance. No one was hurt. But the person that I hit is starting trouble. And I have to go to court for this. I have hives. I'm so nervous. I have never been to court in my life. She's trying to get money.
You are,
like,
yeah, well,
I have no idea what?
Well, yeah, that does happen. There are people who take a very bad thing and turn it into something, profitable.
I hit the right side of my bumper, and her bumper. That's all that happened. I am so upset over this. I'm red. I'm going Tuesday, and I'm a nervous wreck, as you can see.
I can see. No, I can hear it in your voice. Again, right now, in terms of timing as to why one might be involved in a legal matter or dispute of some kind, many things can come in to indicate that. But one thing, certainly, we always look at our good friend Saturn, and it is true that Saturn has just entered. It did enter as it went into Aquarius back in March. It moved into your ninth house, where it's going to. And when Saturn, the ninth house is the house of truth, also it's the house of law. And so that is often a time when we may be engaged in some kind of legal matter for whatever reason. It doesn't indicate a good or bad experience. It just says, now I have a deeper experience of the law. Now, if we fundamentally believe that we have a more or less functional legal system and that its purpose is to determine the facts of the case and then adjudicate based on that, and the facts are clearly visible and apparent to all what has happened here, then you should go in with the assurance that at least reality is on my side. And therefore, all things being equal, the merits of this case are not in evidence for this person to bring this charge for me. And courts, of course, deal with this all the time. And hopefully they will see through this.
What do you see in my chart?
Well, this is what I'm saying. You see, this is the time when you have to be that much more cognizant of the law and dealing with the law in your life at this time. And Venus, which has been retrograding, has just gone into your 12th house. It retrograded back into there just the last couple of days or so. And that says to you that I need to go more deeply into my spiritual self to attune myself to lasting values or meanings that I hold to in my life. Now, you have your Venus, it's interesting, by birth in the sign of Libra. Venus is one of Venus's own signs, other than Taurus.
Okay.
And that's the sign of justice. That's the sign of social harmony and mediation and being egalitarian. So you fundamentally really want to be a Libra. You want to be fair. You want to be just. But therefore, when you encounter people being unfair or unjust, it really throws you. It doesn't compute. How could someone do this? It's one thing when I know I made the wrong turn, I ran into somebody, they have a case, but I know nothing happened here, then they have no case, but they're still doing this. Why? Well, because they think they can get away with it. And all I can do is be my own calm, centered, love self.
I know.
Not let this get to me. Not only is your Saturn in your ninth house, but your progressed moon just moved into Sagittarius too, the ninth sign. So not that an astrologer would say, you're going to have legal issues in this time of your life. We'd equally say, this is a great time to travel. and to explore and to seek for knowledge and such, though those things will be true too. But this rather unfortunate first articulation of universal truth, i.e. our legal system in that judicial sense, is something you're having to deal with. But I
so
I do believe
you're saying my chart does indicate that there could be not but there could be legal issues and it's time to travel. That's what my chart do you know what I'm saying? That's what
well, it's time to explore the truth and what I understand of the truth and my understanding of religious and religious and spiritual truths down to basic judicial truths and civil society. I'm going to have an education in that right now.
Okay.
But what you should always come from your own position and point of view is, I know who I am. I know what actually happened. I'm going to state that as best I can, and we'll see where this all falls out. And hopefully there is a very poor story on the other side, and maybe even a history of this happening before with this person, because people like this often don't do this once, they do it. So there's a history that they've done this before. And again, if you have to hire lawyers and have a lawyer, they could dig in and find, oh yeah, this person's been involved in a number of accidents, they sue everybody. And the court will take that into account. So there are, first is establishing what the facts are, and seeing what the basis is for you to make your counterclaim, or just laying out, these are the facts. Nobody's at fault here. It's no fault. Most states are no fault. But that doesn't stop people from using the system to their own selfish benefit. Yeah.
All right. I understand what you mean by, about the planets. That makes total sense. Anything else? My finance is okay?
Well, let's see. In terms of major planetary alignments right now, Saturn's not impacting negatively your Venus and your Jupiter. No, everything looks okay to me. I imagine the last few years.
The last few years,
Saturn was in your eighth house, and it has to dance back in there and dance back out. Still, you were addressing the issue of debts and taxes and financial issues over the last several years. That should pretty much be done now. Jupiter, meanwhile, is hanging out in that eighth house for this year. And so that would be more like you might actually gain a benefit coming to you that was unearned in a year like this, that you get something coming to you that you didn't actually have to work for.
That'd be nice. I know. I never count on that stuff, but I'd be so grateful for that. I only ask that question because I'm just so afraid this woman is going to try and sue me and take me. Then I'm going to have to get a lawyer if she tries. I'll find out. I'm looking at the worst scenario.
Yeah, I'm hoping you don't have to get a lawyer. If you do, understand you're born with Jupiter rising. And so in your life, throughout your life, you'll be more fortunate and in the sense luckier than most. So I wouldn't worry about and attract trouble. I would put your mind at ease and know that the facts
are
on my side. Okay?
There you go. Listen, thank you so much for answering two questions. You get your next caller, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. And the next caller. Hello. You're on with Bill. Who's this?
Shayna.
Hi, Shayna. Have you called before?
Hi. Yes.
Okay, good. Do I have you maybe in my database here? Yes, there you are, right after Sharon. How about that? You're October 10th, 1984, right?
Right.
Okay. What can I do for you?
I want to know, do you see me getting into a nursing school?
Getting into nursing school. Okay. Let's see where all the planets are right now. Well, you are at a very, very important turning point in this life. And that is because the ruler of your chart, Saturn, which takes 29 years to get around the solar system, is now in your first house, which is the house of identity, what I call myself, how I go forward in life and present myself to the world. And so this is the time in Shayna's life, 2020, 21, and 22, for these next three, even 4 years, you are redefining yourself, taking on a new identity, taking on new responsibilities, changing the responsibilities of your life. And so it's a perfect time to say to the world, I was this, but I am now this, or I'm becoming this. This is the time to do that. And so I would certainly say that, yes, this is the right time in that respect for you to sort of do this. Now, equally, it's true that the progressed moon in your chart, which is the inner measure of time, it's moving through that sign of Leo, which is the sign of stretching oneself and trying to perform or move upon a new stage in the world and act in a new role in the world. It's also the sign that governs education. And it's there for another roughly 2 years. So whether you're going into a one-year program, I know they have those one-year programs that are 2 years and 1 year, or doing 2 years of the 2 years for nursing, I think you're in a pretty good place to be doing this. I mean, obviously, school's hard and tough, but the nursing profession, I have a friend who did this in her 60s, did the 1 year and did the 2 years in 1 year, and is out there nursing right now, and it changed her life, and she's always had a number of jobs or careers before that, but it went into this and is really, you know, a very, very good nurse with all that experience behind her from her other jobs. Mm-hmm. But you certainly, I mean, I've seen no reason why you have a lot of Scorpio in your chart, which is known for great sensitivities and sensibilities in terms of the healing arts. And you are someone who, with that Aries moon and your moon being rising, you are someone who's quick to respond to the needs that you find in front of you. People don't have to ask Shana to do something twice. more often than not, Shana will sense, oh, there's a need here. Let me do something, because you're gifted in terms of sensing what people need and getting it to them, giving it to them, caring for them. Because that sign of caring, the sign of Cancer, is literally on your sixth house of how you work. And with the moon rising in your chart, you really feel the world around you. You sense when you move into a space or meet a person, what is this? And what in this case, what might it need from me? But that also means you've got to be careful what spaces you put yourself in or what people you have in your life, because they really do affect you. You're what we call a sensitive, okay, which is a gift. It is a gift, because other people seemingly strong and in not being affected by things, they're not strong. They're just clueless. They're not aware of the energy.
How do you see my love relationship going?
Your love relationship. Let's see where all the planets are for that. Well, again, that same thing we're just talking about, that moon going through Leo, means this is a time where what's most important for Shana in experiencing the world around herself and what she wishes to show to others, but also most especially receive from them, are matters that would all come under the heading of respect, of honor and integrity. And so that to the extent that you're putting yourself out and showing your love to another truly, one would expect and hope that they will be not hold back, but return that to us if they're capable of doing so. That's the trick. But that's what you're looking for now, is I want respect. I need respect. I'll show you respect. I hopefully will have you return your respect and love and affection to me, is really driving the story right. And so you'll be very sensitive to any perceived experiences or real experiences where someone is not showing you respect, is not being honorable, not living with integrity. You will have zero tolerance for that now. Okay. Not that you would tolerate it before all that much, but now it really would get to you. And you are able at this time, and this has been going on for a year, and you've got several more years of this, that moon moving through your seventh house, where you're able to build new patterns of relationship. Meaning we're all creating the relationship that we create. Our part of it's what we make of it by how we interface with that person and react to them or respond to them and then to us. So that's the part I can control. Well, right now you are much more able to reconsider, what am I bringing to relationship? What, how am I acting in this space? What then could I expect? If I want to get a better thing coming back to me, how can I change what I put out there to start? That's the part I can control. So you're going to break up old reactions in relationships now, and you're going to find new ways of responding, which means good relationships will get even better. A difficult one could be healed, but one that's not going to change because this other person isn't taking up the opportunity with you and you've made your attempt, you'll say, okay, it's time to let it go. So there's a lot of growth in relationship now for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
But remember, okay. Remember, we're all under that Venus retrograde right now. We've all got to remind ourselves that, again, from the 13th of May to the 25th of June, we're all dealing with Venus retrograde. And so we're all of us, and Venus is your ruler because you're Libra, after all. This is the time when we're all reassessing, what do I love, what do I like, who do I want, and what do I want in my life, okay? It's a time for all mm-hmm. of us to be doing, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see who else is here today. I'm going to call on this person. Hi, 951, you're on with Bill. Hello?
Hey, Bill, it's Nathaniel. Hi, Bill.
Oh, hey, Nathaniel. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I, of course, live at the center of the storm in many respects here, including the this latest week of not just the COVID, but the horror of racism rearing up in America again and again and again, and the response and reactions to that outside my window last night. I live right off Broadway. People were marching up and down the street past the midnight hour, going downtown, then back uptown, across the bridge, back across. It was quite stirring and disturbing to see what was going on and is going on. And I haven't looked at any pictures or newsreels today because I just didn't need to do that yet, or maybe, but I will at some point. But I've heard about it, but I was seeing it all night long, so I didn't have to go anywhere. The signs are so clear. If you can't see what's going on, I don't know what people are doing because it's pretty clear what's going on. This is a time when we all need to stand, you know, for one thing or another, for love or not, for caring or not, for life or not. And it's way past the hour for us to be even talking about these things. We have to act on these things. But with that in mind, what do you have for me today, Nathaniel?
Well, I wondered, what you see for me in my chart, with anything coming up. I may have to move in about a month or less or so. So I don't know if my brother's wife back from China here. So my brother's definitely going to be coming back because he got another job at Berkeley. But I don't know if she'll even be getting back in the country, if she wants to come or if they'll let her back in from China or not.
Well, yeah, but certainly be in a quarantine for a time before they, well, who knows? I know it's,
I don't think they'd be in a quarantine. So, with all the thing going on, but,
depending upon, what the rules are on our side and the rules are on their side, figuring that out and seeing how a person can make it through all those, barriers or difficulties, it may take some time, but for you, remember, we've been looking at waiting for this progressed moon to change, and it just has. Your progressed moon was in that sign of Virgo for the last couple of years, and it just went into Libra, which again is the sign of relationship and partnership, and would certainly highlight for one and all that this is a time when Nathaniel, again, this started beginning of the May, like May 10th, the second week in May, and on for the next couple of years now, there is a lot going on in your experience of relationship, where there's going to be changes in relationship, changes in my experience with my brother or sister or sister-in-law or with a neighbor or with a loved one. All these realms are activated. Now, it's kind of interesting for someone such as yourself. Your moon's in Gemini, and Gemini is the sign of our siblings, literally. And you have Cancer on your sixth house, which is the house of siblings. So an astrologer could make the connection that, when Nathaniel's moon goes into a sign, it has some bearing, especially in this case because of Cancer being on the third house of siblings, that's going to reflect some changes in your experience with or of them. So it doesn't say what the experience is. It says wherever the moon is, it says it's time to be flexible here. Make adjustments. And, of course, being flexible doesn't mean being more accommodating to others necessarily and doing, you know, that. It means first with myself, let me be more accommodating with myself. I have patterns. I have ways of doing what I do and interacting with others in the world that sets up my reality of relationship. And that's the part I can control, just as I said to the earlier caller. So if I want a better relationship or different relationship with anybody, I can't go to them and say, hey, change, though I could, but probably it won't work. I should instead say, what could I change in me and my approach that might facilitate and make the space for change for both of us? So it does move on a different pathway that's hopefully both ways mutually beneficial. So this is a time for you to work on your social intelligence. And see that flowing into all my relationships. Obviously the most intimate and close were my family to start with, and then with loved ones and colleagues and neighbors, and all relationships are influenced by this. But this is a time where there's going to be changes in relationship, that's for sure. But what drives that now is because it's time for Nathaniel to change his experience of relationship from within himself, really. And then it flows out to inform and change all his relationships around himself. Okay?
I see. So by changing kind of my relationships, it'll change my own universe, I guess.
Exactly. Again, that's the, you know, it's basically saying, you know, I'm always doing with this with this person, and they always come back with that. Why is that? I go, well, what can you do that's different? Do something different. You know, take it, use a different tone of voice, different body language, offer them something else, or make an offering first. Open the door. Be the bigger person to make the change. And if they take you up on it, well, here we go. If otherwise, it's just stuck in stasis. You know, we sign a contract with people consciously in certain cases, but unconsciously with everybody in terms of what we're going to do and not do for and to one another. And it gets set, and then it's hard to change that unless we're both alive and awake and very evolved spiritually. Then it's ever changing and ever growing. Relationships can get stagnant. They can become ossified. They can become crystallized. And we just accept it maybe. But this is really an opportunity for you to renew all your relationships. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, that was great.
Hey, thanks.
Well, thank you. You're welcome.
Thank
Good
you
to talk to you.
Okay,
here
buddy.
We go.
Bye-bye.
My clock's ticking. Okay, hold on. All right. And let me try to get one more caller in here. Hi. Hi, you're on with Bill. Who's this? 803? Area code?
Hi, Bill. 803?
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Iris.
Hi, Iris. Do I know you?
I think I sent an email when we were talking about the political candidates, but I can give you my birth date, 11-17-1958.
Okay, hold on. Let's see. Hold on. I've got to get 11-17-58. Okay.
Yeah.
And what time and place?
In South Carolina, Orangeburg, South Carolina.
Huh? Do you know what time?
3:30. I'm thinking that's the time.
Okay, 3:30 a.m. or p.m.?
A.m.
A.m. Okay. All right, Iris. Let's see who you are. I apologize.
Well, okay, that's the thing. It's the energy. I'm just trying to figure out how to use all the energy. I know where all the planets are.
Sure.
Pluto.
Let me see where they are. Yeah. Let's see where they are for you. So I always look at the inner life and the outer life. And in the inner life, we're looking at what's called the planetary progressions and the moon especially. And your moon, here we go again, but it's been spent the last three years or so moving through that seventh house of relationship. You've been working and making adaptive responses to trying to build better patterns of relationship, which then flowed out into hopefully establishing better relationships in your real life. And so you've fixed old ones, renewed them, gotten out of some, and started some new ones in this period would sort of characterize the period. But now you're going to the next phase, which is really your phase, Iris, because now the moon is entering your natural house, since you're the eighth sign of Scorpio, and the moon is going into the eighth house. Now the fundamental question of a Scorpio's life is once before you. It's nice to be in a relationship. It's nice to hold hands and have a nice time together. But how and can we two become more one with one another? Can we truly join in a more meaningful way? And so the question of union and combination, of coming more closely together with one or many others, that is what's before you right now.
I kind of figured that.
Yeah, and, no, it's going to be intense. It's always an intense time. Nobody forgets the moon. Nobody forgets the moon being in Scorpio or going to the house of Scorpio, because it makes us deal with the most powerful and moving experiences of our life. When we connect to someone more deeply, our heart leaps for joy. When we talk to our pet and they talk back to us, it blows us away. but likewise, when someone is taken from us or we have to say goodbye to them for whatever reason, nothing breaks our heart more. And that's what this house contains. It contains the truth of our joyful, painful experience of being on this planet. We're immortals in a mortal world. And so we have to overcome our fear of being hurt again and love no matter what, knowing it could be for a very long time or just this afternoon, thank you very much, but it was worth it. There will be joy, there must be pain. If there is love, we will have loss. It can't be undone. They are tied to one another. We wouldn't be human otherwise. And so this is when you're going to experience higher highs and some lower lows.
Okay. I'm already experiencing that, so I know what it feels.
Well, you're a Scorpio. You knew this from the get-go. Other people... Scorpios are the deepest of the signs. And we tell them they're the strongest of the signs. And people go, why do they get to be the strongest? They say, because they need it.
Right. Definitely.
They feel deeply. They connect deeply. And so this is going to be a moving period for you. So enjoy it.
And that's everything. That's professional, spiritual,
yes,
everything.
That is what it is about right now, and that's the heart and soul of what's going on in your chart right now. There are other things going on. There's always things going on, and there's a lot going on in that home area with three planets marching through your home right now: Pluto, Jupiter, Saturn. It's been an active area for the last couple of years, really, for sure.
Yeah, I've been torn apart.
I've gone through the breakdown. Yeah, I mean, the good news is Jupiter will get out of there next year. Saturn may just begin to get out of there next year, but you're still going to have Pluto there for a while. But still, Jupiter and Saturn getting out of there will calm that area down for you eventually here, for sure. Okay?
Right. Yes. Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Iris. Have a wonderful day, and peace to you, and love.
Thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everyone. Well, that's the show. We're past the time, as I always run over, and I'll come back again probably next week. I intend to do that. So looking forward to talking to you all then. Bye for now.